And welcome to episode one of Let's Talk with Tom from Chi-Town. I am Tom from Chi-Town. My name is Tom Sellers, and many of you know who I am. Some of you do not. I'm a member with TW3, as well as a business owner of 24/7 Credit Funding. Also do a couple of other podcasts. So again, welcome to episode one, where I'm learning a little bit where I'm going with this. I'm doing this by myself. And hope not to break anything. So anyway, let's get right into it. My topic this week is all about New Year's resolutions. It's currently the 7th of January. Most of everybody is back to work. The New Year's and holiday hangover should be over by now. But invariably every year, and as a guy who spent many, many years, including this one, going to the gym, I completely understand about the New Year's resolutions and what can happen. For example, for many years I'd go to the gym and I would hate the first 2 to 3 weeks of January because the parking lot would be full. And I applaud anybody who's trying to get in shape, don't get me wrong. But what I would invariably find out year after year after year was you couldn't get in. The parking lot was full, you waited for machines, you waited for weights, and that lasted about 2 to 3 weeks, and then you'd come back near the end of January, beginning of February, and man, you can do anything you want. You don't have to wait for anything. So what I did today is I Googled what are the top 10 New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to run down them here because to me there's one that is absolutely glaring. That it's not here, and I'm surprised to not see it. But let's go through the top 10. The first one, of course, is exercise more. The second is lose weight. Third is get organized. Four, learn a new skill or hobby. Five, live life to the fullest. Six, save more money, spend less money. Seven, quit smoking. Eight, spend more time with my family and friends. 9, travel more, and 10, read more. And I'm going to go through these one by one, but one of the things that I'm not going to pick on it too much because I understand they are just resolutions which in my opinion, are just as good as a wish list. What I mean by that is this. These are all goals, which are great, but they are undefined goals. There's no beginning or end to them, which provides kind of no accountability. Now, again, this is a list of resolutions. That doesn't mean that the people who have made these resolutions haven't, in fact, put a plan together and put a time limit on it. I would hope that they did. The one that I find most glaring in its omission is the top 10 does not include make more money this year. And that puzzles me a little bit. When you are looking at what your next year can be like and the potential that you have and the clean slate that you have on the very first of the year, why would not one of the things you want to do, I mean, you're talking about this list being all about self-improvement, would making more money fall into the list of self-improvement? Wouldn't doing something better for your financial situation and the financial situation of your family, wouldn't that make it, or shouldn't that make it to the top of the list? I would think so. And again, don't get me wrong. Exercising more, losing weight, those are both great goals. But the question that I would ask first thing is, okay, exercise more. How much more? Lose weight. How much weight? What is the plan to accomplish those two things, and when is the date that it is necessary for you to have accomplished it? Some of these are just what I kind of call platitudes. Live life to the fullest. That's a great thought. What does it mean? What does life to the fullest mean? Is it an everyday thing? Is it a weekly thing? Is it, I hope by the end of the year I'm living life to the fullest? To me, that's somewhat a platitude. Spend more time with family and friends. That's another one. And it is a more than enviable goal. Where is the plan? How do you do it? Get organized. That's a huge one. And that would definitely fall into what I would look at as something that is not only self-help, but business help. Whether you have a business or you want the business, you really would have to get organized. Learn a new skill or hobby. Why wouldn't we maybe learn a new business skill? If we're talking about the possibility of making more money in the upcoming year, which I would hope we would that not require learning a new skill? I would think it would. I want to travel more. This is one of those that, and I'm a big fan of this. It is on my list, but my list doesn't say travel more. My list has two trips already planned, when the money has to be put away for that, and when they are actually happening, and where they are actually happening, and on what days. When we talk about things like making more money, let's assume for a second that you have a good paying job. You've been there for a little bit of time, and that is a good thing. I am certainly not here to dissuade you from that. When you have a goal of save more money, spend less money, those are great things. Where do you start? And you see a lot of the same suggestions. I'm not going to go to Starbucks anymore and spend $5 for a cup of coffee. Great. I'm not going to do it every day. Perfect. I'm only going to do it twice a month. All right. Before you know it, it's November, and you're looking and saying, holy cow, I went to Starbucks 4 times a week instead of 5. Well, that's a great place. That's a great start. Did it accomplish spending less money and saving more? I would submit it doesn't. When we think about spending less and saving more, that requires cutting into something that maybe we like, or maybe just into wasteful spending. If you look at the other side of that coin, which do you suppose would make you feel better? If you're the Starbucks person, or take any luxury thing that we'd like to look at, will you feel better by doing it less? Or would you feel better making more money and doing it as much or more and not feeling guilty about doing it? Kind of a good question, I think. If you think about what it would take to make more money for this year, and again, let's look at it from the standpoint of having a regular salary type position or hourly type. How do you make more money in those positions? I only know of a couple. One is a promotion that would hopefully bring you more money. The other is working more hours, hoping for overtime. And neither of those are a bad thing. I'm not here to change anybody's mind on that. But I would say that you need to have a plan for either of those things also. Quite frankly, neither is in your control. Let's say you put a plan together and I am trying to get a promotion from where I am to where I want to go next. Is that promotion completely dependent on what you do? Or is there some manner of the direction and the health of the company you work for to make sure that is something that can be done? If you look at the other side of that coin, hoping to work more hours, and of course, if you're an hourly person, you're going to get paid extra money for those hours, and hope to get into a position overtime. That's a great thing too. Two things are going to happen. One of them, you don't have control. Let's say the company you work for doesn't have extra hours to give you. What if your company has hired people because they have enough business, they needed more people? The reason they hire those people is not so they don't extend and burn out the employees they currently have. So how in that situation could you make more money? How can I continue doing what I'm doing but make more money doing it? Well, there's a couple of different ways. You can start a business from your home. And really, if you think about it, with just a little creativity, it's not hard to do. Let's say you work Monday through Friday. Let's say that you're in an area like I am, outside of Chicago, that we have four seasons. So we've got snow in the winter, and we have got the grass in the summer, spring and summer. Could it be a possibility that you take your Saturdays, and in the snowy season, you operate a plow, or you buy a plow, or you put a shoveling crew together, and you do that 4, 5, 6 hours a day on Saturday? Would that bring you more money? Sure it would. Let's say in the spring, summer, you put a grass cutting or lawn care service together, and you work Saturdays and Sundays doing that. Maybe you work a couple hours after your regular job. Will that bring you extra money? Of course it would. Let's say that you have a skill in a particular thing, maybe associated with your work. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say that by day you are a salesperson. Do you suppose there are companies out there that would look for an experienced salesperson to work part-time, help them get their business going? My guess is that they would. Maybe you've thought about writing a book. Man, we all got books in our head, don't we? How many of us actually pull the trigger to write that book? Well, there's money to be made if you can put a good book together, isn't there? Let's say you have a talent for music, and maybe you want to go out and you want to play in a little garage or bar band, make a few dollars that way. Maybe you write music, maybe you compose, maybe you can instruct people on learning how to play a particular instrument. All of those things would make you extra money, wouldn't they? Let's say in your day job you're an advertising person or a marketing person. Do you suppose you can use those skills to help other companies to create more business for them? My guess is that you can. In fact, if you're on this network listening right now, the vast majority of you do that right now. For those of you who are not, maybe you're listening to this podcast because you and I have spoken about the opportunity that I've been showing you with TW3. We use marketing skills to help not only our own businesses, but other businesses in need of lead generation, to have more people to talk to have the ability to sell more of their product or service. Let's say you're that person who I'm speaking of that is looking to make more money this year, and none of the options I mentioned earlier quite fit what you're after. Let's say you thought to yourself, you know, I've always wanted a business. I don't necessarily have a product or a service. I don't necessarily know how to get in front of people to show them my product or service. Then you might take a closer look at what we're showing you here with TW3, because this program can help you do both of those things. This service can be your product. The marketing plan that is built into this program, you can use for yourself and be hired by other companies to do it for them. Can you start a business in part-time? Absolutely. I suggest you should. A lot of times you hear people out there, I'm quitting my job and I am starting a business. I don't know that that's necessarily the best way to go about it. Quite frankly, if you're going to open a business, and I say this from experience, you need to have a couple of things going for you. You need to have a product or service that you've already done some market research on and know that it is a viable thing, that there are people out there that want, need, and can afford it. The second thing you're going to do if you're just going to jump off the cliff and start that business is you need to have some money put away, because I'm going to tell you again from experience, the day you open the business is the day you start losing money, at least for a period of time. Well, what do I mean by that? Excuse me. If you come from a background that you get a weekly or bi-weekly or monthly check, however you get paid, and you jump off that cliff into the business, into a new business, you have gotten away from that regular paycheck that you've become accustomed to. Let's say that it takes you several weeks or several months even to get your business off the ground. Those expenses are still going to come in, not only for the business, but for the home. That car payment's not going to stop coming. That mortgage payment's not going to stop coming. Just because you call the lender and say, hey, guess what I did? I quit my job. I started a business. Very few of them are going to say, oh, well, you should have told us that earlier. We're going to give you several months of not having to make payments. Doesn't work that way. How it does work is you go out, you roll your sleeves up, and you learn a few things. If you understand your product, if you understand your service, that is a great place to start. Here's what that does not guarantee you. Just because you know you have a good product or service does not mean anybody else does. What it does mean is that you have spent some time researching and learning a new skill that you are bringing into the new market, into the marketplace. It does not come with a plan for how to get in front of people. Most businesses, when they first get started, they spend a good deal of money on advertising and a good deal of time cold calling. Now, cold calling in and of itself is somewhat a dying art. I'm old enough to remember that that's where we always started. Those of us around my age, if you spent any time in sales, whether it was insurance or cars or real estate, in many times, your first day on the job, they threw the white pages at you and said, get started dialing, kid. And that's what we did. With the advent of technology, it is much easier to talk to a lot of people without having to dial a phone. Many of the things that we teach you within the TW3 platform are designed to do just that. Get you in front of people who are interested enough in starting a conversation. I go back to the days when I started my first company a couple of years back, 4 or 5 years ago. Here's what I knew. I had a very good product. I had a very good process. I had something that the vast majority of businesses need. That doesn't mean they all want it. Doesn't mean they all understood it. Doesn't mean they all could afford it. But it was a particularly good idea for 90% of the businesses. That I had going for me. The other thing I had going for me is I've been in sales all my life. I know how to go out and prospect. I know how to go out and talk to people. I know how to close business. The background that I spent the most time in was in a retail setting in dealerships. It was not my responsibility to bring people in. Now, I did. I had a lot of customers that would refer people to me. But if I lived off of that, I would not have been as successful monetarily as being able to take care of that traffic walking through the door. And therein lies the problem of myself and most new business owners, especially those of us that come from just a sales background. We've learned very well how to take care of somebody walking in the door. The thing we know very little to nothing about is how to get them there. And my first 6 to 8 months of my business career, I had to learn that very hard lesson. I made tons of calls. I went to tons of marketing groups. I shook hands with hundreds, even thousands of people, trying to get my message out there. And we did okay. In retrospect, I didn't lose any of my initial investment, which was somewhat substantial. But I got to tell you, I felt beat up most of the time. I felt like I wasn't getting where I was going, and I most certainly was not making the income that I was used to making. Now, many people, and I've seen it happen, the statistics show us that fully 80% of all new businesses don't make it for the first 5 years. Now, there's a ton of reasons why. I would submit to you one of them is not having the skill to get people in front of to talk to about what you have. That in is of itself is, in my opinion, the most important thing if you're thinking about being in business that you have to learn. If you look on a lot of websites and a lot of internet things, you can literally be inundated by everybody and their brother, every guru, every newsletter, every sales letter, promising them, if you will just pay us the money it takes to get involved, I'm going to give you a great product or service for you to sell. You'll get rich. You'll be rich before you know it. And you see all these sales letters with these guys on their Lamborghinis and other exotic cars on the beach somewhere drinking a Mai Tai, telling you that yesterday they were broke. Now that's a little bit facetious, I know, but that's what they make it sound like. 90% of them will tell you, will spend more time telling you how great their product or service is and how much money you can make than they will ever tell you about how to sell their great product so that you can make money. My rule of thumb is kind of a simple one. If you're trying to get me involved with your company and your marketing plan begins with, make a list of your friends, family, and neighbors and go show them this great product that you just got done buying and sell it to them too. Folks, if that's what you hear, run and run fast. Unless you've got a family that has 4,000 people in it to get you started, I would say that deal's not going to work so well. And the numbers show us that's the case. The vast majority of companies like that, the vast majority of people that get involved, produce little to nothing. I would suggest to you, and I'm not here to tell you that our program is the only program, not by a long shot, but here's what I will tell you about our program. Regardless of what your thought process is as to how you intend on using the TW3 platform, the one thing that is a constant is you have the ability to get in front of people, as many of them as you want to, with many different ways of doing it, with many different tools. And again, at the end of the day, whether you are doing this to promote your own company or somebody else's company, or you're being hired by another company to do lead generation, you have the tools to do it, regardless of the type of business. If you are somebody that says, I want to be in business, but I do not have a product of my own or one that I'm associated with, this becomes a very good product to fill that. You can literally make a very good living doing nothing but reselling this program. Those that get good at it will open up and play with some of the other ways of making money in here, because there's a bunch of them. I personally haven't scratched the surface. I've probably got 4 or 5 different ways I'm using it to make money, and I'm very happy with those, but there's so much more. So when I look at things at the beginning of every year, and I'm the kind that spends probably, some would say, too much time planning out my next year with goals, with plans, with deadlines. Am I 100% successful in accomplishing those goals every year? Nope. Anybody who says they have, their goals are too small. You got to make them big enough that you, A, sometimes can't see the reality to it until you can break it down into smaller sections. And once you do that, then it becomes easy to reverse engineer what it takes to get there. But here's the thing about having goals and having plans. If your goal is, or one of your goals are, to make more money in 2020, it's going to start with having a way to do it. Regardless of whether it's our program or another program, you need to start with what you have, how you can get in front of people to talk about it, and how many it takes to sell or service to sell to make X amount of dollars. And by the way, if one of your goals is to make more money in 2020, do yourself a favor and quantify what that is. Do I need to make an extra $5,000? An extra $10,000? Whatever the number is, it does not matter. Once you've decided what that number is, you then go into what your side business or side gig or whatever you like to call it is. You find out how many of them you have to sell to make whatever number you decided you need. And then if you're moving the direction of goal setting, you have a way to be accountable to that goal each and every month. If your goal is to make $12,000 next year, that's $1,000 a month. So your time frame every month for $1,000, of course, is the end of the month. That by the end of the year, at the end of every month, you've made $1,000. And then December 31st, you've made $12,000. You've hit your goal. And you did it by knowing what your numbers are. How many it takes to sell to create that $1,000 a month. And then you have to go a little farther beyond that. How many people do you have to talk to create those sales? How many leads do you have to generate? Do you have a way of generating those leads? If you don't, let's have a conversation. Let's look very closely at what I'm talking about here. If you do have a way, if you have enough people to talk to, if sales are doing well, then it really at this point becomes a matter of quantifying what you really want for next year. And again, when it comes to it being a goal, don't just say, I want to make more money. Everybody wants to make more money. Decide how much money you want to make. Decide how you're going to do it. Decide how many people you have to talk to. How many of your products or service you have to get out there. And then, what day does that number have to be accomplished by? And how do you make sure that you're on track? Where are your milestones of the year? Are they quarterly? Are they monthly? Figure them out so that you know when you go to that milestone day, where exactly you sit in relation to the goal that you've put together. For this first episode of Let's Talk with Tom from Chi-Town, I am Tom from Chi-Town, Tom Sellers. I hope something I said here makes some sense. If it doesn't, I'm going to try again next week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week on episode 2. Have a great day.